militants to the north alongside the civilians who would be allowed to return home in a ceasefire agreement. Now, Egypt and Hamas both want a complete Israeli military withdrawal from Gaza. They refuse any continued Israeli military presence in Gaza. Second, Hamas wants a permanent truce. Israel wants the option to resume fighting to eliminate Hamas. They want a ceasefire, right? Third, and very much related, Israel insists that Hamas has to give up control of the enclave. Hamas, of course, absolutely refuses this condition. It intends to be the governing authority after the cessation of hostilities. It wants to oversee Biden's phase three. It wants to oversee the reconstruction of the Gaza Strip.
Okay, there is a perception among people who sympathize with the Palestinian cause that if the United States simply stopped backing Israel, the war would stop, and that this diplomacy is a front for the annexation of Gaza. Now, I'm not saying that that's accurate, but that's a perception. I wonder if you could address that.
I think there are legitimate criticisms of how the Americans have certainly handled themselves in both in their support of Israel and in the negotiations. But I think a statement like that cloaks the real concern over a widening crisis in this conflict. This conflict is not merely about Israel and Palestine. It is more broadly about a bunch of groups that are allied that do seek to do harm to Israel. And we have seen an escalation of this conflict throughout from October 7th. The war has basically threatened to spill out into a wider conflict since then. Yahya Sinwar, the head of Hamas, certainly hoped that his allies, and here I'm thinking of the Houthi rebels in Yemen, Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, and most notably Iran, would follow his lead by launching their own attacks on Israel after October 7th. And while there have been attacks from these groups, things remained at a relative simmer, at least until April. Since then, they have escalated, and this has brought in other actors who also wish to do harm to Israel, who vow to destroy it or do damage to it. Recall that Iran fired a barrage of missiles and drones at Israel on mid-April, April 13th. This was ostensibly in retaliation for the killing of two Iranian generals, notably the head of the Quds Brigade, which is the group that interfaces between Iran, Hamas, and Hezbollah. Now, that attack was mostly thwarted by Israel and the U.S. and Jordan, but it represented one of the largest missile attacks in history and the first time that Iran had directly targeted Israel. The crisis has widened since then. Hezbollah fired rockets at the Israeli-controlled Golan Heights. They killed 12 Druze children in late July. 2 days later, on July 30th, Israel retaliated by killing a senior commander of Hezbollah in Beirut. This is Fuad Shukr, who they claimed was responsible for the attack. And a day after that, on July 31st, Israel assassinated Ismail Haniyeh in Tehran. He was there attending the inauguration of Iran's new president. Recall that Haniyeh was the political head of Hamas and Israel's negotiating partner. And just this past Sunday, Israel launched a major attack in southern Lebanon in what they called a preemptive strike against Hezbollah targets, destroying thousands of rocket launchers aimed at it. Hezbollah responded by launching more than 300 rockets into Israel, the most we've seen since October 7th. So while I understand the criticism you're making, I think the broader concern here of the Americans and the international community is that this conflict has a propensity to escalate into a regional war involving actors that do mean to do serious harm to each other.
It's a really very clear explanation for all of this. Jamie, we're appreciative of your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Jamie Levin, an associate professor of political science at St. Francis Xavier University, who specializes in civil wars and particularly in the Middle East. He was in Halifax.